Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Beis. We are on Perek Chaf Gimel, and we're in Pasuk Yud Ches. So we were talking last week about some of these warriors of David's. This last song that David sang, so to speak, his last speech. And at the very end, we talked about three Giborim that he had. And we talked about who they were, their names. We had Tach Kimoni was one. He was also called Adino. Right? That was Pasuk Ches. We said some say that's referring to Yoav, but some said it's not. We darshened some things based on the Medrash, but that's the Pashup Shat. That was number one. Then in Pasuk Tes, we had Elazar ben Dodo. Ben Achochi, he was the second one, and then we had in Pasuk Yud Aleph Shama ben Agei Harar. He was the third one. Fine, and then at the very end of the shiur last week, we talked about the fact that David was very thirsty, and three other warriors. Not the same three warriors as we just mentioned, but three other soldiers of his. They went and they breached the enemy camp, the enemy territory, in order to get water for him. But he regretted asking because it endangered their lives, and therefore he said he just poured it out as a nesach, as a nisuch ha-mayim. He poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said some saying was sukkis, and that's why he did it. Okay. And that's what we're up to now. Now we're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. Avishai Achi Yoav ben Tzruya. Now Avishai, the brother of Yoav ben Tzruya, who Rosh HaShlosha. So he was the head of the three. So Pasha Pshat here is that he was the greatest of the three who went to get the water. He wasn't one of the first three, obviously. Those first three warriors were the greatest warriors. But of the three who went to get the water, Avishai ben Tzruya was one of them, and he was the greatest of the three. V'hu orer eschaniso al shlosh me'el chalal v'lo shem v'ashlosha. And he would wake up his spear with 300 corpses. And he was a great warrior. He used to kill a lot of the enemy soldiers in battle, 300 corpses with one spear. V'lo shem v'ashlosha. And he had a name among these three. He was like the top. He had a reputation among these three. And Pasuk Yud Tes, similar idea. Min ashlosha hachi nichbad. He was the most honored, the most, the greatest of the three. Vayilohem lesar, and he was an officer over them. V'ad hashlosha lova. But he wasn't as great as the first three warriors. The first three warriors we talked about last week, they were the greatest. And then he was kind of, you know, the second best, the greatest of the second line, of the second front. Okay, now we're introduced to an interesting person here. Uvenayahu ben Yehoyada. Uvenayahu ben Yehoyada. That's the name of the next this next soldier or warrior. Ben Ish Chayil. He was the son of a strong person, son of a strong warrior. Now in the Ksiv, we have Ben Ish Chai. In the Kri, we have Ben Ish Chayil. So it's read as Chayil. It's written as Chai without the Lamed in the Navi. But it's read as Chayil. Okay, we'll talk about that. But Pashup Shat, Ben Ish Chayil, he was the son of another warrior. His father was also a great warrior. Rav Pa'olim, he was a person of many deeds, so to speak. Meaning he was a big fighter. He accomplished a lot. Rav Pa'olim. Mikav Tze'el. And again, Pashup Shat Mikav Tze'el means he was from a place called Kav Tze'el. That's the name of a place. He was from this place. And how great was he, says the Malbim? He did three great things. Huhika es Shnei Ariel Moav. He defeated two of the great officers of Moav. Ariel, So the Mefarshim explain, the Radak explains this, that Ariel is a combination of two words, Ari-El. Ari is a lion, which obviously is the thought of to be the strongest animal in the animal kingdom. It's not quite the strongest, but it's the fiercest animal in the animal kingdom is the lion. And El, Aleph Lamed, when not used to refer to Hashem, sometimes it's used to refer to Hashem, obviously, but when not used to refer to Hashem, it just means strength. So Ari-El means like this double strength. So it refers to the Shnei Ariel Moav, the two great strong officers of Moav. He defeated them. That's number one. Number two, Vihu Yorad Vihika Es Ha'ar. Either again, we have Kri Nexiv here, Arie or Ari, but it's the same idea that he went down and he actually defeated a lion, a real lion, Bisoch Habor, in the pit of the lion. So he descended down into the lion's den, so to speak, and killed a lion with his bare hands. And not just that, but it was Biyom HaSholeg. It was on a cold, wintry day. And as the Mefarshim all say, on a cold, wintry day, we're not at our best, but the lion is at his strongest. So here you had a situation where the lion was the strongest, and he was a little bit schwach, so to speak, and still he was able to defeat this lion in his boar. Yeah, it sounds like he was a very strong individual. Okay, now number three says the Malbim. What else did he do? Uvika es ish mitzri, and again we have a Kriya Nektiv, but it's ish mare. He also killed a mitzri warrior. There was an Egyptian warrior who was an ish mare. What does that mean? He was an ish mare. It means he was a very intimidating looking person. He was one of these big, strong, intimidating warriors. Ubiyara mitzri chani. The hand of the mitzri was a spear. And vayered elav bashavet, he came down to this mitzri with just a stick. He just had a stick. Vayigzol es achonis miyara mitzri, and he stole the spear from the hands of the mitzri. Vayahargeu bachanisa, and he killed him with his own spear. So this is the third event, so to speak, that made this person so great. Benayahu ben Yehoyada, he killed these two officers of Moav. He killed this lion and he killed this mitzri, and that's what made him so great. Now a couple of interesting things about this Benayahu. Number one, he was a Kohen. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was a Kohen. We've talked about him in the past. We'll talk about him again. He was a Kohen, and the Radak says even though he was a Kohen, Kohanim are not allowed to be metamed themselves. They can't make themselves tameh. So why is he listed as one of David's warriors? He's killing people. You kill people, you're going to become tameh. So what's this all about? So he says that even though he was a Kohen, and the Kohen cannot make himself tameh, but nevertheless, Kohanim did go out to battle if the battles were against the seven nations or the other enemies of the Jewish people. Why? Because then it's a mechames mitzvah. This is not just an optional battle. This is a battle of a mitzvah. So if it's a battle of a mitzvah, even Kohanim are allowed to go out. And he says, what's my proof? We have a Kohen Mashuach Milchama. There was a person who was known as the Mashuach Milchama. He was the anointed one for battle. He was a Kohen. He would go out and he would give them the pep talk before going out to battle. You should go back. He was the one to do that. And how is he out there in the field with these guys? Maybe he would become Tamei. It's a Milchames Mitzvah. He was allowed to do it. Not just allowed. It was a mitzvah for him to do it. And not only that, but we find also Pinchas. Pinchas was a Kohen. And Pinchas killed Cosby and Zimri. Right? Shish Kebab. He killed them. Why? Again, because that was a mitzvah. So even though, technically speaking, a Kohen is not allowed to be Tamei himself, but in cases of a mitzvah, he was allowed to. And that was this Benayahu ben Yehoyada, that he was allowed to to be there and to be a soldier. Now this is all the pshat. This is all the pshat. The drash, there's a medrash here that says that this whole thing is describing these qualities, these wonderful qualities about Benayahu ben Yehoyada, not just that he was a strong warrior, but that he was a pious person, a tzaddik, a chassid, a talmid chacham, and that's what these are referring to. So number one, Ben Ishchayil also, okay, we'll talk about that in a second, but Rav Pa'olim. So Rav Pa'olim means many deeds. So it says the Radak that according to the Medrash, it's referring to as many mitzvos, many good deeds. Rav Pa'olim is referring to many mitzvos. Mikav Tzel also. So again, Pashup Shavi says Kav Tzel was the name of the place. He was from Kav Tzel. But he says also Likbot is to gather, that he would gather other people to learn Torah with him. That he was someone who gathered people to learn Torah. So that was another quality that he had. Huhika Shnei Ariel Moav. So he says, nah, the Medrash says that this is referring to the two Batei Mikdash. That Ariel is also a hint to the Beis HaMikdash. And this is an allusion to the two Batei Mikdash, the first and the second. And meaning that there was no one else like him in the times of the two Batei Mikdash. And that he was responsible. It was like in his chus, so to speak, that we had these two Batei Mikdash. Why do we call them Ariel Moav? Why are we referring to the Beis HaMikdash as Ariel Moav? Because who built the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech, who descended from Rus HaMoaviyah. So because Shlomo descended from Rus HaMoaviyah, so we refer to the two Batei Mikdash as Shnei Ariel Moav. The going down and killing the lion in the boar in the Yom HaSheleg, so he said also could be understood metaphorically, according to the Medrash, to refer to someone who breaks through the ice to be tovel himself in the mikvah, that even though it's he can't find a mikvah, he breaks through the ice and is tovel in the freezing water to be tovel in the mikvah. He says also it's possible that maybe it refers to his learning, that he was able to learn, that even though it was uncomfortable conditions or whatever the case might be, it was very cold, he was still able to learn with intensity. So this is according to the Medrash. I saw quoted on the bottom of the art scroll. Very nice thought. They quote Rav Gedalia Shor, who says that that the mashal here of fighting a lion is that just like when a person is fighting a lion, you can't lose your focus even for a moment. You lose your focus for a moment, the game is over. That's it. You're done. The lion will kill you. The only way you can possibly defeat a lion is by remaining laser focused 100% of the time. So he said that when we learn Torah, we have to be the same way. We can't be daydreaming and looking out the window and getting distracted by this and by that and by other things. We have to be laser focused on our learning. That's how we're going to accomplish in learning. And if we're not, if we're easily distracted, so then we're not going to accomplish. That's sort of Gedalia Shor's thought. Beautiful thought. You know, unfortunately today, it's so easy to get distracted. We have our phones are always buzzing and pinging and all sorts of things. So easy to get distracted. So I remember when I was in yeshiva in Ner Yisrael, we're going back 15 years, smartphones were not as accepted, certainly, and certainly not in yeshiva. People, didn't have phones. People had flip phones, and all the boys, had phones at that point. And someone's phone went off in a shiur once, and in one of the shiurim. And you can imagine the Rebbe wasn't very pleased about this. So the Rebbe proceeded to give a whole shmooze, how a phone in the middle of learning distracts you from the learning. How is your head supposed to wrap itself around all of the depth of Torah if the phone is going off and we're getting distracted by all the other things? So I think today it's like a kal vachomer, that if back then we were distracted, certainly today we were distracted, but we have to try to not be distracted and silence our phones and things like that when we're learning and something, when we're davening also, to make sure that we don't get distracted. That's his thought. Okay, one interesting thing about this pasuk, this is unrelated to the pshat of the pasuk, but some of these terms might be familiar to you because they are the name of Sfarim. The Ben Ishchai, for example. Ben Ishchai is one of the most popular Sfarim of a Sfardi Halacha, right? Who wrote it? Rav Yosef Chaim Ben Elio Al Chacham, who lived in the 1800s, died in 1909 in Baghdad. And he was one of the great Sfardi Gedolim of that generation. And he wrote many, many Sfarim. But a whole series of his Sfarim were named after this pasuk, presumably based on the Midrashim that it's referring to Talmud Torah and things like that. I saw also that apparently Rav Yosef Chaim at one point thought he might be a Gilgul of Benayahu ben Yehoyada. I'm not sure why, why or how he knew that, but that's what he thought. So he actually has a Sefer ben Yehoyada, which is a Sefer on Agarata, explaining the Agarata in Shas. He has the Sefer Ben Ishchai, which is all about Halacha, which is Halacha. and he has a sefer of Shalos Uchulos Rav Ta'olim, also based on this pasuk. And then I saw, I've never heard of this sefer, but apparently in his Ben Ish Chai, he consistently refers to a sefer that he wrote called Mikav Tse'el, which is based on that word Mikav Tse'el in the pasuk. Apparently we don't have the sefer. We don't, you know, it's not extant. We don't have the sefer, but that's what, but it's just interesting that all of, you know, as a whole, all the whole series of Svarim is based on this. Okay. Yeah. Again, Pasha Pshat or the Medrash? Oh, Hika? You're saying what's the Hika? That I'm not sure how they explain Hika. I'm not sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Hika sounds like it's hitting or destroying or something like that. Let me just look quickly. I don't have in my notes anything. Let me just look quickly at some of the mafarshim here. This is pasuk chaf. Shohiniach kivos doesn't say. Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't say here. I don't see it here. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's saying that he didn't leave anyone like him. Rashi says the shalom niach kemosav. There was no one like him in the during the times of either Beis Hamikdash. I saw this one place that the way it described it was that it was like almost like in his chus that we had these two batei mikdash, and you know he was so holy that it was like in his chus. Okay. By the way, I think Derech Agav, based on what Rav Yosef Chaim did, that he named his Sfarim after, based on this pasuk, so you have other Gedolim have also done similar things. They've copied Rav Yosef Chaim and they've done similar things. So, for example, Rav Avadia, he named his two main Tshuva Sfarim are Yabia Omer and Yechavadas, right, which both come from the pasuk in Tehillim that we say Shabbos morning in Pesukei Zimra. And also, Rav Hirshel Shechter, Bodel Chaim, also his Sfarim are also based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Eretz HaTzvi, Ginas Egos, and I think there's one more I can't, as I'm blanking on the name now, but also Bikve Atzon, Eretz HaTzvi, Ginas Egos are all based on a pasuk. They're all the phrases from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. So it's other Gedolim have copied what Rav Yosef Chaim did. Okay, when I was reading pasuk Chaf Aleph, it struck me that I think there's a Gemara somewhere that quotes this pasuk. Vayigdol es achanis miyara mitzri. But I didn't know where it was. So I went on to Bar Ilan and I looked it up. And it's a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes. Interesting Gemara. So we're not going to get into the context of the Gemara. But the Gemara is trying to figure out what the prototype of a gazlan is. So we know a ganav is someone who steals stealthily. You know, like quietly, you know, in the still of the night, he goes and he steals. A gazlan is someone who steals like in the broad daylight. You know, you mug the person, that's a gazlan. Brazen. So the Gemara asks in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, that a gazlan heichidami. What's the case of a gazlan? What is a gazlan? So Rabbi Yavohu says, Kigon b'nayahu ben Yehoyada. The example the Gemara quotes of a gazlan is b'nayahu ben Yehoyada. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'yigdol asachonis miyara mitzri, v'yargeo b'chanisa. This was in battle. He grabbed it from him right in front of his face and he killed him with his own spear. So that's the prototype of what gazlonus is. This case. So this is quoted in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Tes. Okay. I didn't remember that. I mean, I remember that it was quoted somewhere, but I didn't remember where. I had to look it up. Okay. Pasuk Chav Beis. Eila Asa B'Nayahu Ben Yehoyada V'lo Shem B'Shlosha HaGiborim. So these are the things that B'Nayahu Ben Yehoyada did. These were his claims to fame, so to speak. And he also had a reputation among these three Giborim. Min HaShloshim Nichbad V'yel HaShlosha Lova. And again, similar to what we said before, that he was loftier or more honorable than the 30 that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about these 30 in a moment. But still, he did not reach the level of the three, these three great Giborim that we began with. Vayisimehu David El Mishmato. And David appointed him El Mishmato. So what's Mishmato? So the Malbim says that it's referring to the Sanhedrin, that he was the Ben Ayyub and Yehoyada because of his greatness in piety and he was the Talmud Chacham. So he was appointed as the over the Sanhedrin. He was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. The Radak says that David appointed him as an advisor. Mishmato, like Shomea, that David appointed him as an advisor, that whatever he said, he would do. Some say he was also appointed over the Crazy and the Placey, which were these two families, that he was appointed over them as well. Okay. Now we're going to start to mention all of these warriors that we have. We have a whole list of these warriors. Asael, Achi Yoav. So Asael, who was another brother of Yoav. Bishloshim, Elchanan ben Dodo Beis Lachem. So there's a question in the Mefarshim here: is Asael one of the 30, or is he in addition to the 30? There's a whole question how to count exactly the 30. We're not going to get into all the details. But Asael was either one of the 30 or right before the 30. Now the Malbim interestingly says that Asael was also like David's personal bodyguard, and that's why Asael was not counted in the first group of Kiborim, because he was kind of always in the background. He was like the Secret Service guy who was always in the background, that you didn't really see him on the front lines as much. Pasuk Chaf Hey Shama Hacharodi. Elika Hacharodi, so this is referring to two people who were both from this place, from this place called Charod. Cheletz Hapalti, Ira Ven Ikesh HaTikoi, from Palet or Pelet from Tikoa, Aviezer HaAntosi Mivunai HaChushosi, Salmon HaAchochi, Marai HaNetofasi. I'm just reading the names. Chelev ben Bana Hanatofasi, Itai ben Rivai Migivas b'nei Binyamin, b'nayahu Pirasun Pirasoni, Hidai b'nachle Gosh, Avi Elbon, Ha'aravasi, Azmoves, Habarchami, El Yachba, Hasha'alvoni, b'nei Yoshen Yehonasa. Shama Ha'harori, Achiam ben Sharar Ha'harori, Elifelet ben Achasbai ben Hamachasi, Eliam ben Achisofel Akiloni, Chetzrai Hakarmeli, Parai Haarbi, Yigal ben Nosan Mitzova, Boni Hagodi, Selek Haamoni Nachrai Habe Erosi, Nosei Kle Yoav ben Sruya. So interesting, this last fellow, this Nachrai Habe Erosi, so he was the one, he was the Nosei Kalem, he was the one who would bear the arms of Yoav ben Sruya. Some say that it was, if you look at the ksiv there, it's nosei, which is plural. So some say that it's referring to Tzelek also, that Tzelek and Nachra were both the bearer of arms. Okay. One of them or both of them. Ira ha-Yisri, Garev ha-Yisri, Uriya ha-Chiti, Kol Shloshim v'Shiva. So in total, Uriya ha-Chiti was the last one. Uriya ha-Chiti is the name that we know. Exactly. So these were the 37. And all the Mefarshim here discuss, you know, what exactly were the 37. If you count here, you really have 30. So you have to count the first three, plus the three water carriers that we talked about. Avishai was one of the water carriers, plus Binayahu is 37. That's how, according to the Radak, you get to 37. Oh, good point. Yoav is not counted here. Now, again, there was a Shita in the Mefarshim that the Tachkamoni, that we learned about at the beginning of last week, that he was really Yoav. There was a shita that he was Yoav. But according to the opinions, that he was not Yoav. So then Yoav's not mentioned here. Why is Yoav not mentioned? He's the general. Yoav is the general. Not because of Shalom. No. Mefarshim say that because Yoav was the general, so therefore He wasn't mentioned with everybody else. He had a different position. He had a higher position. He was the general. So because of that, we didn't mention him with everybody else. It was kind of like beneath him to mention him with everybody else. It's interesting. The Radak does count Benayahu, but the Metzudas David does not. So why does Metzudas David not count Benayahu? He has a different way of counting the 37. So why does he not count Benayahu? He says because the Benayahu was a Kohen. What the Radak said before, that even though Benayahu was a Kohen, he still went out to battle because it was the Mechames Mitzvah, etc. And the Metzudas David says because of that, he's not counted. He's mentioned. You know, he's mentioned that he was there, but he's not counted as one of the warriors, because since he was a Kohen, he would not be Metame Lemesim, and therefore he didn't go out to battle so much. So that's why he wasn't mentioned. Okay, so this is the end of the Perek. We'll stop here. I know it's a little early, but we'll stop here for tonight. And Amir Sashem, next week we'll pick up with Perek Chaf Dalid, our final Perek, and then I guess we'll see where we go from there. Okay, Shkoyach.